Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding. Oh, isn't this good? Everybody say exceeding.
Exceeding.
You know, that'd be enough if it just said exceeding above. It doesn't say just exceeding. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh over yonder. Is that what your version says? Everybody say in us.
In us.
Everybody say in me.
In me.
I want you to put your hand right here on your chest. It may seem silly, but I want you to put your hand right here on your chest. I want everybody to say this. I have God Almighty living in me. Therefore, all things are possible. He can do beyond what I can ask or think. I need to turn Him loose. Now see, there's a sin that's rampant among God's people, and that sin is that we think too small. So often we think too small. We tend to judge our possibilities by our abilities. Listen, we judge our possibilities by our abilities. Well, I think I could do that. Well, let me check my checkbook. No, I know we couldn't do that. And we begin to look at our resources instead of being moved by, first of all, what has God said? What is God saying? And I'm going to move in union with what God is saying instead of by my abilities. Are we together? If we can ever change our mentality. And I see Pastor Bobby and Judy sitting there. Wave your hand so I want everybody to see. Stand up, Pastors Bobby and Judy. Give them a great big hand clap. Would you do that? Bolton. And they are establishing a work, and we're kind of buddies in this thing. They're establishing a work on the other side of town. So I know he's listening to every word I'm saying. We're believing for miracles, aren't we? And we call each other up and encourage each other. How are you doing today? Pick me up. I need picking up today. Next day, I'm going to pick you up. But we tend to look at things based on our resources instead of God's resources. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. It reminds me of a story. Maybe you heard this story. You ever been down to Florida? You've seen these guys fishing off those bridges? You know, you see a lot around here, but in Florida you see them fishing off bridges. And I saw this guy, you know, the story goes that this guy was just rolling them in, catching these huge fish and little fish, but he was throwing back the big fish. And so as the story goes, the guy was looking at that and he said, you know, what in the world is he doing? You know, he's got it backwards. He's throwing back the big ones and keeping the little ones. And so curiosity got the best of the guy, and he walks over there and he says, excuse me, he said, you're catching a lot of fish here. He said, but I see you throwing back the big ones, keeping the little ones. What's the deal? And the guy pulled out a ruler. He said, you see that ruler? The guy said, I see your ruler. He said, that's the exact size of my frying pan. He said, so, you know, I measure all the fish by my frying pan. And he said, if it'll fit my frying pan, I keep the fish. But if it's bigger than my frying pan, I throw them back. Everybody say there's a better way. Hello, fillet that deal. Amen? Make it fit the frying pan. And if I can just pull off of that, you know, our brains so often are like that. We take an idea that God gives us, or we begin to see a leading that God may give us, and our brain is like this little frying pan. We hold our little ruler up there, our checkbook ruler, our abilities ruler, our background ruler. Well, I can never do that because, you know, I didn't ever graduate from high school. Or I couldn't do that because, you know, if I could just, we always have the sin of if I could just lose 15 pounds, then God could really use me in a mighty way. Well, if I could, and I can't relate to this one, if I could just gain 15 pounds, God could use me in a mighty way. Gosh, if I was just 6 feet tall, if I just made 6 feet, then I could tower over people and intimidate them for the Lord. Amen. You know, we always have these little things. You know, if I just made more money, if this, if that. Be honest, how many of you ever fallen into the sin of if? If this, if that, and that. Instead, look at verse 20 again. Now unto Him that's able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. Now, go with me to Mark, another kind of preliminary verse here. The book of Mark, chapter 9. And I want you to mark verse 23. Honey, this is a calligraphy verse here. This is a verse that somebody ought to put to calligraphy. Now, you know, you go to some churches and they say, well, bless God, we believe that miracles passed away with the apostles. You know, there's that thought out there. Well, I just don't believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit for today. Well, I don't believe this. I don't believe that. Everybody's, you know, it's almost as if some Christians would take a pair of scissors and cut out certain portions of the Bible. Now, don't quit taking notes at this point. I'm not recommending you do this. If you took a pair of scissors and cut out all those verses that you can't quite get hold of or your denomination doesn't like, if you just had this one verse left, it would still cover it all. I want you to mark verse 23. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, how many things are possible?" Well, that was about half of you. How many things are possible? Well, that was about two-thirds of you. How many things are possible? All things are possible. Now, my brother, I just said, what do you think the original Hebrew there means? It probably means all. Probably means all. All things are possible to him that believes. Now, let me tell you what that means. That means that an alcoholic can get delivered from alcoholism and turn their life around. That means that a person who's addicted to cigarettes can break that nicotine addiction, and it's really a physical, mental, psychological addiction that can be broken in their life. All things are possible. It means a person who's lived an immoral life can be delivered by the power of God and be set upon a new path in their life. All things are possible. It means a guy who's been an evangelist for 20 years at age 47 can start a church. All things are possible. I'm just going to be honest with you. I've had people come up in this process and say, "Jason," and I'm not that old. 47, that's young. Everybody say, "You look good." I receive it. I receive that. But 47, I've even had some of my ministers will push you down. You ever been to those churches where that you feel worse when you leave than when you got there? I mean, and then they ask you to pay them to tell you that. You know. And I've actually had friends say, "You know, man, I don't want to think about that. 47 years old, you know, your family, your kids are, you know, getting to that age where they're getting ready to go off to college in a few years. And that's a pretty risky deal you're getting into." Well, it is if it's my deal. It's not if it's Jesus' deal. Amen. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Now, I want to just challenge you. What are some things, perhaps, in your life that you've kind of pigeonholed? Well, I can't do this because of my age, or my finances won't allow me to do that, or my background doesn't believe in that, or whatever. I want to ask you to take the lid off of your life. Take the lid off of your life. Pastor Bobby, let's just dream a little bit. You could have a great church right up I-85, right up where you live. God could do that. I could see 100 people. I could see 200 people. I could see 500 people. You know, I could see 1,000 people. You know why? Because I've seen you minister to that size group before. Well, you've got the goods. You've got what it takes. Now, you see, I can see that, but can you see that? And there's the rub, isn't it? Man, we can believe God for miracles for the other guy. I can believe you can walk on water. Yes, you can. I'm not getting out of the boat, though. You know, and we tend to think that it's kind of, you know, us. It was the disciples, too. The disciples were like this. They were all like for Peter as long as Peter was out there. But when he went under, I don't read anywhere where one of them dove overboard after him. Do you? I mean, give the guy some credit. We're always like, "Well, Peter sank. Didn't have faith." He was out there. The other guys were sitting in the boat. Look at him. He's going under. Look at him. He's drowning. Do you think he'll make it? And Thomas is back there. "I doubt it." You know? That's true. So sometimes, you know, people that should be encouraging us really don't jump out and help us. And there's where you got to keep your eyes on God. Now, you know, when I started this, and Martha and I started this, there's certain people that you'd like to see come to your church, people that you hope to see come to your church, people that you know, people that are friends. Well, there's no guarantee that they're going to come. And, you know, the Lord has to deal with you where, hey, whether they come or not, I'm doing this for God. I'm not doing this to be a man pleaser. And so you get out there trusting in the Lord. Amen? Trusting in the Lord.
Now, let's go to another passage together. I want to go quickly to Genesis 17 and look at some principles how God dealt with a guy named Abraham. Anybody remember that guy? I think he's important in the Bible somewhere, isn't he? Genesis 17. And really what I'd like to do is focus a little bit on this idea of expectancy, the atmosphere of faith. Because if I can ever expect Ephesians 3:20 for my life, I create a certain atmosphere that's conducive to miracles. Would you write that down in some shorthand? Just use your own shorthand. If I can expect Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. If I can expect that, I create an atmosphere that's conducive for miracles. Now, most of you know this, some of you don't. I'm a pilot. And I love to watch the Weather Channel. Am I the only person who loves to watch the Weather Channel? What's wrong with you folks? It's a wonderful, ongoing saga. Cold fronts battling with warm fronts. Highs and lows. The character, it's never ceasing plot unfolding before your very eyes. Well, see, most people care less about the Weather Channel. Well, when you're a pilot, like tomorrow, I'll get in the plane and I'll fly to where I'm going to go speak this Sunday, which will be fading out, by the way, as I preach at my own church. Thank you very much. When I get in that airplane, I'd like to know the weather, not only where I'm at, I'd like to know the weather where I'm going. Why? Well, I want to go to heaven, but not just yet. You hear what I'm saying? And brother, you want to go to heaven? Yeah, but I'm not ready to get on the next bus load. Thank you very much. Amen. And so I'd like to know the weather, and particularly if you cross the country, and it's many times I've, and Jeff's been with me, we've flown to Tulsa, we've flown to Kansas, Ohio, we've just flown all over the country together. And you know, the pastor will, it's interesting, the pastor will stand there at the airport and say, pretty day to fly, isn't it? Well, it is if I was flying here. He doesn't realize 200 miles down the road there could be thunderstorms. And so you'll hear on the Weather Channel them talking about atmospheric conditions. And they've discovered through observation and collecting data that atmospheric conditions affect the type of weather you're going to have. And so if they say today is a high, then you can pretty much expect a pleasant day. If they say there's a low moving in, then your possibility of bad weather coming. And you get to understand, watch this, that the condition of the atmosphere determines what you get. Are we together? This is not a Weather Channel thing here. I'm talking in the Spirit, if you'll get this. Write this phrase down in your notes. Spiritual atmospheres. There's something that I would call spiritual atmospheres. So if I go through life expecting Ephesians 3:20, then that is going to in part determine the kind of environment I have. Not totally, but to a great degree. If I go through life expecting it's not going to work, I'm no good, I'm a nobody, then that is going to predict the weather over my life. Now, I've got this deal on my airplane called a radar, and it goes out 200 miles in front of me, and it paints a picture on this little screen, like a TV screen, and it shows me where the storms are. Bo, I know you've seen that flying around in that. You know the commander that y'all fly? Turbo commander all over the country? It's got radar in it. Why would I want to know where the storms are? Because I don't want to go there. Thank you. Why don't you want to go there? Because devils live in storms. I used to wonder where the devils go when you cast them out. I think they go in thunderstorms. Craig knows that. Stay away from thunderstorms. And so that it goes out and it shows me what's coming. There's a passage in the Word that says He will show you things to come. I am telling you folks, there's a place in our walk with God where He can show us, not in totality, but He will show us glimpses of where He intends for us to go. And conversely, He will alert us to things we don't need to get involved in. And if we are sensitive in the Spirit, And if we are sensitive to God, then we can navigate through and arrive to the destination God wants us to arrive in. All right, now let's look at this. Genesis, what chapter? Somebody help me preach. What chapter? All right, chapter 17. Genesis 17, go to verse 1. Follow me now. I'm going to read rather quickly. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9. Everybody say 99. Now, folks, any way you cut it, 99 is getting up there. Amen? And he had, the boy hadn't even had the child yet. 99. The Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Or that means upright. And I will make my covenant between me and thee. Underline the phrase, between me and thee. Me and thee. Watch this. God is saying, between me, there's my part, and then there's going to be your part. Don't miss this. Well, I just think God's all sovereign and just whatever will be, que sera, sera. You hadn't read the Bible good enough. Well, I just believe, you know, whatever comes our way is from God. Well, then why does it say in Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God? There must be something we got to put the armor on about. It's because fiery darts. It's because there's an enemy trying to attack us. And it says, put on the whole armor of God that you can stand against the fiery darts of the enemy. He says, between me and thee. And he says, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. Verse 3. And Abram fell upon his face, and God talked with him, saying, verse 4. Circle this phrase. As for me. Everybody say, as for me. Everybody say, as for me. God is saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be, future tense. Here's what I say to you at 99, you shall be, not are, shall be, a father of many nations. Now, here's the way God operates. God comes to you and says, okay, Carl and Bevan, here's what I'm saying to you. I'm taking God's place. Have faith, have faith. God's saying, you shall do thus and so. And when God first tells it to you, remember the little ruler? Remember the fishing pan? We go, can't be. No, no, we couldn't have a house like that. No, no, that's a big house. We couldn't have a house like that or a business or whatever. Couldn't adopt those children. We couldn't do that. God says, as for me, that's how I see you. Now, how about you? How do you see you? Are you out there? Cooperation. Everybody say cooperation.
Cooperation.
And the biggest fight that God has is not with the devil. It's with our lack of faith in God. See, the devil's not your problem. I mean, there's some real spooky Christians out there. You ever met those? Twilight Zone people. I'm serious. Twilight Zone Christians. It's like, oh, the devil's going to get me. Oh, the devil's after me today. Oh, the devil this, the devil that. Listen, the devil cannot touch you when you're walking with God. As long as you keep your armor on. You need to be afraid of yourself. And self with a capital S. Self will defeat you before the devil will. But when self is submitted to God Almighty, you come to the conclusion, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. There's that state of dependency that every one of us need to remain in. I can't do it, but God can. Say it. I can't do it. Say it again. I can't do it. Now, here we got a guy that's 99 years old. Well, I wonder what the original means. 99. That's what it means. 99. At 99, God's saying, and I'm paraphrasing, you and Sarah, your beautiful wife of about 100, are going to have this miracle child. And that offspring will multiply as the stars of heaven. You are going to be the father of many nations. Now, what did that do to a 99-year-old brain? That created a huh. Everybody say huh. Got to write that in your notes. Huh. Read on. Verse 5. Thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. He's changing his name because of the vision. For a father of many nations have I made thee. Now, from verse 6, 7, and 8, without reading the entirety, would you just mark the phrase, I will, I will, I will, I will. All through there, God begins to declare the future. I will, and I will. Verse 7, and I will establish my covenant. Verse 8, and I will give unto thee. Verse 8, and I will be their God. I will, I will, I will. God's saying, as for me, here's what I intend to do, but how about you? Will you get in covenant with me and start seeing what I am seeing? Now, I'm going to go ahead and give them to you kind of ahead of time so you can kind of see where we're headed here. I want you to write these three keys for developing faith and expectancy down. Write these in your notes. Three keys for developing faith and expectancy in your life. And I think most of these can show up. I'm going to read them for those of you in the back that may not be able to see them. But key one is this: you must agree with God by seeing what is not yet seen. Everybody say seeing. So faith and expectancy must see just as surely as a radar system sees. I don't see the storms 200 miles ahead, but I believe that instrument. Why do you believe the instrument, Brother Jason? Well, I've used it and I know it works. But you can't see the storm. I can't, but I can. Are we together? I can't, but I can. So he's coming to Abram and he's saying, Abram, you think too small. And do you remember the story? I'm going to paraphrase here. God puts his arm around Abram and says, you think too small. Come out here and look up in the sky and tell me what you see. You remember that part? And so Abram looked up in the sky and he said, well, I see darkness. That's the way a lot of Christians are. They can't see the little bright things. And God says, okay, yes, there's a lot of darkness up there. I realize that, Abram, but try to be creative, son. Let's expand our vision here. Look, what else besides darkness do you see? I see clouds. Okay, there's darkness, there's clouds. We got that down. Look around the clouds. Anything else you see? I see stars. So shall thy seed be. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to get Abram to see. Everybody say see. See how? See by faith. Well, it didn't get it. So would somebody close that back door there for me? Another time God put his arm around Abram and he took him down by the seashore and he said, what do you see? Abram looked down and he said, I see. And I'm just kind of playing around. I don't know what he said. He said, I see seaweed. Seaweed. Yes, there's seaweed. Is there anything besides seaweed down there on the beach? See it. Look at it. Look at it. I see crabs. How many of you run into the crab Christians yet? They'll snap at you. Crab, seaweed, yes. I see sand. Do you remember that part? So shall thy seed be. God was trying to create a vision in the man to see some symbolism of what he was being called to. What he's being called to. Now let's go to Romans. And let's kind of wrap this thing up. Go with me to Romans chapter 4. Are you learning something tonight? I tell you, I'd never ceased to enjoy studying the Word of God and the possibilities of what God is calling His people to. Let's pick the story up in Romans. Same guy, same story, just the New Testament version. Go to Romans 4, for the sake of time, let's go to verse 17. Verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Now, we just read that in Genesis 17, didn't we? Now, we're picking the story up over here. Look at verse 17. I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead. Underline this. Here's how God operates. He quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they what? As though they're not yet, but as though they were. So God doesn't get on the bandwagon after the fact. God is prophetic in nature. Why is God prophetic in nature? Prophetic meaning all-knowing, Alpha to Omega, because He's God. So we're locked down here in time and space. God says, Jason, I see World Outreach Christian Center down here. Will you see it? Well, I'll see it when I see it. No, well, you see it now. Because if you don't see it now, you'll never see it here. You must see it to see it. Don't ask me to repeat that. Did you get that? You must see it to see it. All right, go on. Verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become. Underline that. Everybody say that he might become. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now here comes some other keys. Don't miss verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100. There's some humor there if you can catch it. About 100. Everybody say about 100. I mean, when you're 99, you quit counting. It's about 100. And you just get, you got to realize this story. I mean, picture Abram walking into Sarah. God spoke to me. Well, what did God tell you? He said we're going to have a child. And it says she laughed. Actually, if you want to know the truth, Abram laughed too. There's a place where Abram laughed too. There's different kinds of laughs. How many of you know that? There's the laugh like, oh boy, this is going to be a trip. And there's the laugh of, I don't think so. There's different kind of laughs. Evidently, Sarah, she was rebuked because she had a laugh of doubt. But I think most women at about 100 would probably be laughing at their husband too. Look at verse 19. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. I want you to mark that. See, we stagger at the promise of God. We hold our rulers up there and we say, I don't see that. I don't see that. And God's saying, you got to see it if you're going to see it. But was strong in faith, and here brings us to key number two, underline this, giving glory to God. I want you to write key number two down. It's not enough to see it. You must agree with God by saying what He says. If God is telling you to start a business, it's not enough for you to see it. At some point in time, you've got to say, I'm going to build that project and develop that land. Because once you say it, you have made a commitment in the Spirit. Now, I will tell you about World Outreach Christian Center. There was a time where I had a hard time seeing it. I didn't want to see it. I mean, I've got an airplane and I'm flying around blessing people, but I get to leave them. Let the pastor mess with them. I come in and really mess with them, but I'm going to let the pastor clean up the mess. Amen. And God began to work this in me about 2 years ago. I want you to raise up a church. And I will be honest with you. My first reaction was, hold up the cross, holy water, candles, rebuke it. I know the devil trying to speak to me. I rebuke it. I'm not pastoring. I mean, do you think I grew up when I was little like I'm going to be a pastor? Or what do you want to be when you grow up? Pastor. No kid grows up like that unless he's either got the real call of God in his life or got something wrong up here, you know what I'm saying? I mean, God's got to get hold of you and shape you. And so God began to deal with me. So I had to go through a mental, psychological adjustment just to be able to see me doing that. But then I would not dare say it. Well, we're not really going to pass. We're just going to have kind of Friday night Bible studies. I could get that far. And you laugh at this. I don't know if you saw the door out there. The guy came in. He said, what do you want on the door? I said, well, I haven't thought about it. He said, don't you want your name on the door? I said, yeah, I want my name on the door. He said, you want Pastor Jason Peebles on the door? I went, can we put Rev? I mean, when you say it, there's a commitment in the Spirit. Everybody say, see it.
See it.
Say it.
Say it.
Do it.
Do it.
Everybody say, see it.
See it.
Say it.
Say it.
Do it.
Do it.
Honey, there's the ABCs of faith right there. I don't care what God's called you to do. Whether it's in business realm, ministry realm, purchase a home realm, missionary work. Going to go to, the mission field for a short-term trip or whatever that might be. Master's commission or whatever it might be. You got to see it. You got to say it. But, honey, you got to get out and do the stuff. Tonight we're doing the stuff. Are we together?
Amen.
Look at that verse, verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. How do you give glory to God? Does anybody here know how to give glory to God? Well, give me some ideas, feedback. Glory to God. How do you give glory to God? Act weird? What, come on. Huh? Praise. That's one way. Do His will.
Agree with His purpose.
That's very good. Agree with His purpose and act it out. Testify. Vocalize it. All those things go into giving glory to God. I'll tell you what does not give glory to God. Watch this. Let's put it in reverse. I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to do that. I couldn't do that. I don't have the education. No, I couldn't do that. You're back suddenly to measuring your future by your past. Suddenly, you're back to measuring your potential by your abilities. If you really understand the deal is we've got a covenant. As for me, I will, I will, I will. All I'm asking you to do, God says, is say, not my will, but thine be done. It's not all on your shoulders. And I will tell you this, raising up World Outreach Christian Center is not Jason Peebles' responsibility. Hallelujah. I'm just the water boy. I told you that. I'm along for the ride. And I'm going to enjoy the ride. Now, I'll work hard. We have worked hard. Tim has worked hard. His wife, Robin, who's going to be over the whole children's department, has and is working hard this very moment in the nursery. Everybody say, God bless him in the nursery. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes you'd rather wrestle devils than all those kids. You know what I'm saying? I know. Well, we've raised two of them. Hallelujah. Sometimes they're angelic and sometimes they're a challenge. Are you there? So I'll work hard. I'll put the legwork to it. But ultimately, it's really based on, am I in step with what God's saying or not? Or am I a buzzard flapping real hard? Or am I an eagle soaring? Let's finish the story. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to what? Underline that right there. You have to get in your mind persuaded that God is able to do what He said He's going to do. If God's called me to do this or that, then God's able. God's able. I remember when we had our first crusade. We started our ministry. And the last one, before I tell you that story, look at that. You must agree with God by doing steps of faith. Everybody say doing. And I summarize it this way. See it, say it, do it. See it, say it, and do it. And you can write those references down there. I don't want to turn there for the sake of time. James 2:17. I think most of you can quote that by heart. Faith without what? Is what? All right. So let's put some legwork to it. We're going to see it. We're going to say it in agreement with God, but we're ultimately going to end up doing it, which takes us down that path. When we first started this ministry, we started in the booming metropolis of Vidalia, Georgia. Home of the sweet onions. Hallelujah. Call 1-800-VIDALIA. Have you ever seen those signs? That's where we started. Over 20 years ago now. And I can remember we had our first crusade, our first outdoor crusade. We had moved from Tulsa, Oklahoma. We used all the money that we had saved. And I had more decision cards printed up than there were people that lived in Vidalia. I was believing God for big things. You know what I'm saying? Couldn't be that hard. Billy Graham does it all the time on TV. Those of you in the balcony, begin to come now. Your friends will wait for you. And those of you watching by television, write to me, Billy Graham, Minneapolis, Minnesota. That's all the address you need. I had it all memorized. And so I thought, hallelujah, we're going to have a crusade that shakes this town up. And so we had a 40-foot flatbed truck. We had a big banner that said, Jesus is Lord. I was spunky. I was right out of school, man. I was out there to save the world. Praise God. Move over, devil. Here I come. And I got out on the platform that first night, and it poured rain. Poured rain.
Well, Brother Jason, you know, if you're charismatic, Brother Jason, why didn't you pray and rebuke the rain? I did. What happened? It rained harder. I'm not making this up. I wish I was. Only the faithful few, and some of them departed the faith that night. I'm out there. I'm just miserable. I'm thinking, like, this is terrible. I mean, the few thousand dollars we had saved up, we're spending this on a crusade. Surely God could at least back us up. The second night, I somehow got myself prayed up, pumped up. I got out there. It rained harder. Now, see, I'd always heard guys say, like Kenneth Copeland, like, bless God, if nobody's in the auditorium, you get in there and preach anyway. If it's raining, you get out there and preach anyway. You do what you're supposed to do anyway. Well, see, I didn't realize that high-powered electronic equipment didn't go real good with water. I have since had the revelation. The second night I was out there walking across the platform. Now, you got to remember, this is a lot of years ago. This is before wireless. So I'm dragging one of these cords behind me. And I'm coming across there trying to give an altar call in the rain to nobody that's there. Go figure. And my altar call was awful. I mean, you know, I have learned some things. But my altar call back in those days was, if you want to get saved, get saved. I didn't even understand that. Why should they understand that? Nobody moved. I walked over to this side and I said, if you want to get saved, get saved. That didn't make sense to me again. Somewhere in there, the electricity came off of the mic and hit my mouth. I said, if you want to get saved. I'll tell you the truth. It almost electrocuted me to death. I mean, you talk about hot lips. My lips were fried. And I was starting to get shy of that thing because it was arcing. Truthfully. Now, I know why those old Pentecostal guys preach like this now. They've been electrocuted one too many times out there. Hallelujah. You think I'm making this up? I'm not making this up. Martha was there. She'll testify. Dear God, she was there. The third night, it was worse. More rain. I'll preach without a mic. I had one person come forward. It was my dad, but my dad was already saved. And I'm not making this up. I had the 10 million decision cards printed, and the guy brought me one. And I took it, and it said, Johnny Peebles. And my dad, Merrill, my sister's here, he had filled it out just like, you know, filled all the things in. And then it said, comments. He said, I came forward because I felt sorry for you. And he said, I hope that by coming, others would follow. And so the worker didn't really know that was my dad. He said, would you like me to handle that one, Jason? I said, no, I'll take care of this one first. I'll take it. Praise God. The fourth night. Oh, I don't know. We had a few people come forward, you know, if you really stretched it, recommitment, dedication of some kind. And, I mean, basically, it was a total failure. Now, why am I telling you this story on a faith message? I was seeing it. I was saying it. And, Lord, I was trying to do it. And I thought I had failed. I mean, you got to understand, this was not like a weekend job for me. I mean, this was like I had spent everything I had. And I was so miserable. That last night I went up there and I said, Lord, I said, you know, I could have sworn you called me into the ministry. And I said, Lord, speak to me. Have you ever prayed that prayer? You know, shooting star, a deer, white dove, something. And I don't know, that 40-foot banner that said Jesus is Lord reached the perfect moment of saturation with water. And as I said, this sounds like I'm making this up. I said, Lord, speak to me. The Jesus is Lord banner went and fell down in the mud. I said, I have had it. I have had it. I'm going to go home and go to bed. I've had it.
That was my start in the ministry. About a week later, I went to my mailbox. Now, the size of your mailbox says something about your faith. Back in those days, I had a mailbox that you had to have faith to get a letter in it. Have you ever seen those little boxes about that big that, you know, a little door opens up? Now, today we got a huge mailbox. But back then I had a little mailbox. And, you know, you check it once a week anyway to see if anything's in there. Open it up, I see a letter. A letter. Oh, dear God, I hope it's not a remove me from your list letter. You know? Don't send me junk mail anymore. I recently got it, and it was from a company in Vidalia, a machine company, machine shop company. I said, what is that? I opened it up, and there was a check in there for $10,000. That's what I was wondering. I looked at that. My faith was so low, I thought, that is a cruel joke. I promise you, that was the first thing through my mind. I thought, this ought to be against the law to do this. But as the more I looked at it, I thought, I'd never seen a check so big. I said, Martha, that says $10,000. It looked good. It was written out right. I called the guy up, and this guy was the president of this machine company. And I set up an appointment to go see him and thank him. How many of you would at least thank the guy? I walked in there, and I didn't know him from Adam. And I said, you know, what's the $10,000 all about? He said, it's for your ministry. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I was at your crusade every night. I said, you were? Like, you want your $10,000 back? Yeah. Honestly, he said, no, I was there every night. He said, I sat in the back of the parking lot, and I found out later, he was sitting in a white Lincoln Continental that had those smoke-colored windows, you know, like the Mafia drives. And he said, I sat there every night watching you. And he said, I sat there thinking, he's preaching and it's raining. He said, the next night, I thought, he's getting electrocuted. Look at him. He's getting electrocuted. There's smoke coming out of his ears. Look at that. He said, the third night, I looked, he's still out there. The fourth night, one decision card. He said, I couldn't help but think of when I started my business. And he said how hard it was. And he said, I thought, man, if a guy's that determined, I want to help him get a start. He said, Jason, use that $10,000 for however you and your wife need to get started. That was our seed money to get this ministry started. Which since then has gone around the world, radio, helping missionaries, and now starting this church. All goes back to a seed gift of one obedient businessman who God touched, in my lowest moment, became God's divine appointment. Sometimes our disappointments, write this down and we're through, our disappointments become God's divine appointments. Our disappointments can become God's divine appointments. You know, you lose your job, it could just be your ticket to having your own business. You know, one aspect of your ministry closes, it could just be the doorway for God to launch you into your own ministry. In the midst of it all, God is saying, I have a covenant with you. Now, I see you this way. Will you see yourself that way? Through thick and thin? I'm saying this about you. Will you say this about you? I want to do this. Will you do some faith? Just do something. Preach in the rain. Preach in the rain. But nobody came forward. All right. You agree with me, and I'll move in ways that you can't imagine, exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. Amen.